Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We're in the book of Ephesians, of the epistle to the church at Ephesus. It's an epistle to the church of Jesus Christ, to the whole church, that is, a people who belong to the Lord. It's not to the world. It is to the people who belong to the Lord. Now, last week, we titled the message, God's Purpose. We're not finished. Today, we're going to look through, not the entire, but through many books of God's book to further exegete, that is, to remove from behind a curtain and put on display God's eternal purpose. That 11th verse of Ephesians 3. Let's go to verse 9. No, let's go to 8. Unto me, Paul speaking, who am less than the least of all saints, that is, ones committed to God, is this grace, unmerited favor, given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God, among the ethnos, among the ethnics, and to make all see what is the fellowship, the joint participation in the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent Paul is revealing this mystery, to the intent that now, under principalities and powers in heavenly places, that is, angels and demons, might be known not by angels, not by demons, but be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, that is, by the faith of Jesus. The eternal purpose of God. I want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. First chapter, 26th verse, which says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I want to point something out that, you know, I don't know why King James translators translated it the way they did. let us make man in our image. That's not what the original says. In the Hebrew, the word for man is ish. What God said here is, let us make Adam, first blood. Let us make Adam in our image. If we go to the fifth chapter of Genesis, first verse, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created Adam, not man, in the likeness of God, made he him. In the ninth chapter of Genesis, sixth verse, it says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he Adam. In the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, 28th verse, and I always love this verse. For in him, that is, in Christ Jesus, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his, that is, God's offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, genos is the word, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. God said, let us make Adam in our image, after our likeness. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created. Again, we have that create, that generating force, if you will, of God. Created in righteousness and true holiness. And one more verse, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God, brothers and sisters, has an eternal purpose, which from the beginning of his revelation, that is, from the beginning of the Bible, the God revealing himself to us said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I want to dispel some traditions that are held in the church about original sin, that it was sex. The story is very simple. God gave man over the dominion, gave man the dominion over the whole earth. But he wanted to let Adam and Eve. No, he was still God and still in charge. And he said, eat everything but the fruit of this tree. That is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that ye eateth, ye shall die. Satan, God's adversary, Adam, if you will, his adversary, man's adversary, constantly attempting to diminish our confidence in God's word, said, really? Did God say? Surely, the day that you eat thereof, you won't die, for your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Here was original sin. After God created Adam out of the dust of the earth in his own image, in his own likeness, part of which was freedom. God is free, being God, to do whatever he wants to do. He gave that freedom to man, because without freedom, there's no love, and without freedom, there's no trust. And Adam and Eve trusted Satan. They wanted to see it all now. And they ate the fruit. And God said, the day ye eat thereof, ye shall die. Now, we know the story goes that Adam and Eve weren't, life wasn't taken away from them, but in terms of life or the ability to relate to the source of life, it was taken away. And we, being the descendants of Adam and Eve, have been removed as Adam's descendants from the source of life, which is God. Paul tells us earlier in this Ephesian letter that dead in trespasses and sins. You know, we might still be moving around, but in terms of the ability to relate to the source of life, dead. But Paul goes on to say, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. He's confirming the way back. And Adam and Eve were left with a way back to God. God, in the New Testament, particularly in this book of Ephesians, God, or Paul, by God, is showing the way back, and it is through faith. But we're talking now about God's eternal purposes from the very beginning. God said, let us make man in our image. And God's purpose will manifest itself as his eternal purpose in eternity. There's a verse in the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, 24th verse. It says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, So shall it stand. Now, the context of this particular verse, God says he's coming against the Assyrians. But just as powerful as it says, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, is that verse in Numbers 23, uttered by a heathen prophet, wherein it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent or turn away. As he has said, so shall it be. As he has spoken, so shall he make it good. All these words from the beginning until we get all the way into the New Testament of the book of Ephesians remind me of a passage that I was taught early on by my pastor, a great teacher, a gift of God to the church, a passage in the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And it opens and it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. I'm hoping that my words today will be effectual. I'm hoping that those to whom God has given ear will hear. There to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. The literal is, he wrought his work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, O you who are of God, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, I'm not going to go through all the teaching on the potter's house, but there is a principle being stated here, and the principle is, God is the boss. And he says that the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again a vessel, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. What is this other vessel? It is that which Paul speaks of in this Ephesian letter, the inner man, that he speaks of in the 2 Corinthians, of the inward man. It is that which he speaks of, new creation in Christ. Which, as it is being renewed day by day, and it's being renewed in the knowledge of God, that He is the boss, that He's in control, that what He says He will do, and in eternity, we shall see the consummation, the completion of what God purposed all the way back from the time of Genesis when He said, "Let us make Adam." In our image. What is God's eternal purpose? It is to make us in the image of Him. The Apostle John in his first epistle says, "Brethren, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him." This is God working on this clay. This is God working on those whom He chose for Himself in Christ before the foundation of the world. And God has given a measure of faith to every man. The scripture is clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What's pleasing to God? His Son, Jesus Christ. And by faith, God puts us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we are in His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son, Jesus Christ, dwells in us by faith. We look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We walk not by sight, but by faith. And all that other stuff that is so-called Christian religion is just what I said, just a bunch of stuff. God doesn't care about your religious activities. It doesn't make you any more righteous. God gives the favor, the righteousness of himself. And he does all this by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is some deep water territory. I am speaking to you today by the grace of God given to me, and doing it with all confidence, speaking of God's eternal purpose, wherein he said, "Let us make Adam in our image." After our likeness. I praise God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who strengthens us in the inner man by his Spirit. And I, with David, will say, as I hope, the Spirit in you will say, as the Spirit in David said in Psalm 17, verse 15, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake, when the new man is complete in Christ Jesus. I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness." That's the God School for today. If you've heard the words of this message, I want you to go to the godschool.com. It's probably worth listening to it a second time and a third time, that it might get through our thick skulls. And if it did, I want you to hit the comment line and let me know that these words today, that God's word today, is having an effect, and that your faith, in spite of whatever circumstance you might find yourself in, might be strengthened and have the inward man, that new creation in Christ, strengthened as we persevere through this present evil world.